From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. In the wake of last week's Palestinian bid for statehood, an 18-month-old domestic dust-up rears its head. In February of last year at the University of California, Irvine, a group of Muslim students protested a speech by Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Oren.
Like speaking Hebrew.
Michael Oren! Propagating murder is not an expression of free speech!
Shut up!
The Irvine 11, eight students from UC Irvine and three from UC Riverside, were charged with conspiracy and disturbance of a meeting. Last Friday, a jury found 10 of them guilty. Tony Rakakis is the Orange County District Attorney. He said his office prosecuted the students because of overwhelming evidence in emails, on video, and from eyewitnesses.
It was very clear that this was not just some kind of a shout down or some sort of a spontaneous, heartfelt display. This was a conspiracy developed over time to shut down the Israeli ambassador from speaking. So this was a serious challenge to freedom of speech.
All right, fair enough, but there is no law that stops a citizen from depriving another citizen of freedom of speech. The Constitution protects us as citizens from the government repressing our right of expression.
Well, there is a California law that says that it's unlawful to disrupt a lawful meeting. In this case, sir, it was a freedom of speech issue because here it was a case of this group saying that the speaker would not be allowed to speak.
You know, I get that. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says an individual has a responsibility to let other people talk. It's annoying and it's obnoxious, but we're not talking about censorship in the strict legal sense, are we?
We are talking about one group of individuals determining who can speak and what can be said on a university campus. So they did, in fact, make a censorship decision. What you're saying is that the only kind of censorship that could be called censorship is if it's done by the government. And frankly, I disagree with that.
The University of California, Irvine police came to you with a complaint, and then it behooves you either to pursue it or, for whatever reason, not to pursue it. There were a lot of speeches interrupted by protesters, border to border, coast to coast, especially at universities.
We have evidence of a conspiratorial planned shutdown of the speaker. I'm not aware of ever turning down a case where we had that kind of evidence.
Are you aware of ever prosecuting one?
No, I think this is probably the first case that we got with this type of evidence where it was so clear.
So that was the bridge too far for you. Not that a bunch of kids stood up at a meeting and repeatedly shouted down the speaker, but that they had planned to do it to make sure that this voice of the ambassador would be shut down.
I think that the planning and the intention were clear and certainly were important to the case, yes.
Of all of the students in all of the universities who break up a meeting by doing something or another loud and obnoxious, the ones who wind up getting prosecuted, 10 kids with an explicitly Muslim political agenda. Did you discuss in your office whether the prosecution itself would be perceived as disproportionate administration of justice?
I think what we discussed concerning the political implications were that if we don't proceed on this case, that we would not be able to proceed on another future case where, say, the Muslims were shut down in their attempt to give some kind of a speech. What it comes down to is whoever the group is, it doesn't matter if it's a Muslim group or some other group, we just can't allow one group to stop everybody else from putting their views forward if it comes to us by way of a criminal complaint. I mean, you know, I don't. If it was any other group, we'd do the same thing.
Tony, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
Tony Rakakis is the Orange County District Attorney. Irvin Chemerinsky is Dean of the Law School at University of California, Irvine. He said that even though the students clearly violated California law, he never expected this outcome.
I was very surprised when the DA decided to bring criminal charges here. You only see prosecutions if there's injury to people or property or serious risk of injury to people or property. That wasn't present here.
Tony Rakakis, the DA, with whom we've just spoken, says that he believes that apart from the statutes that the students violated, ultimately they were guilty of censorship, of abridging Ambassador Oren's freedom of speech. Do you buy that?
I do, but it has to be put in perspective. ultimately Ambassador Oren was able to deliver his entire speech. They delayed his ability to do so, but it's different than the way it was being described of abridging, keeping him from speaking. He did deliver his entire address.
When we spoke to Tony Rakakis, he said, look here, the police came to us with a case. We had video evidence. We had hundreds of eyewitnesses, and we had an email chain which proved conspiracy beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when police bring good cases to his office prosecutes.
It's so overly simplistic. DAs get strong cases all the time that they choose not to prosecute. In Los Angeles, for example, the city attorney is prosecuting almost no misdemeanor offenses because of budget shortfalls. So the strength of the case is one factor any district attorney would consider, but it's not the only factor. Is it good for the community to bring the prosecution? In this instance, it clearly wasn't good for the community. There have been a long history of incidents here at UCI of tensions between pro-Palestinian students and pro-Israeli students. This incident was particularly explosive. It was a year and a half ago. If there hadn't been the criminal prosecution, everyone could move on beyond it. But instead, what he's done is keep open and deepen a wound in the community.
What about this? In a subsequent university-sponsored event, a pro-Palestinian speaker should be interrupted, shouted down, verbally abused by a group of Zionist students.
I would be taking the exact same position. They shouldn't be punished by the university. There's no need for criminal prosecution. Now, of course, if this happens in the future and the DA doesn't prosecute, then there'll be claims of unequal justice, of discriminatory prosecution. And I think those would be very powerful criticisms. On the other hand, it's really sad to see a bad decision become precedent for future bad decisions.
Some have said that this prosecution, in essence, deprived the students of their free speech rights.
There is no First Amendment right to go into any public meeting and shout down the speakers. The students could have stood outside the auditorium and held up picket signs or hand out leaflets or held their own demonstration across campus. That's what the First Amendment allows them to do. That said, the question then is, what's the appropriate punishment for these students? I think the appropriate punishment was university discipline. No need for criminal prosecution. But instead, the students now are celebrated as champions for free speech.
All right. Erwin, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Erwin Chemerinsky is the dean of the law school at the University of California at Irvine.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.